Can we open our Bibles, please, to Numbers chapter 35? It's on page 154 in the Chapel Bible. Numbers chapter 35, verses. We're going to read a few verses in chapter 35. Passages between 6, verses 6 through 28. Again, it's page 154 in the Chapel Bible. And I have to get there. Apologize. Now among the cities which you will give to the Levites, you shall appoint six cities of refuge, to which a manslayer may flee. And to these you shall add 42 cities. So all the cities you will give to the Levites shall be 48. These you shall give with their common land. And the cities which you will give shall be the possession of the children of Israel. From the larger tribe you should give many, and from the smaller you should give few. Each shall give some of its cities to the Levites in proportion to the inheritance that each inherits. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, When you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall appoint cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the manslayer who kills any person accidentally may flee there. They shall be cities of refuge for you from the avenger, that the manslayer may not die until he stands before the congregation in judgment. And of the cities which you give, you shall have six cities of refuge. You shall appoint three cities on the side of the Jordan, and three cities you shall appoint in the land of Canaan, which will be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge for the children of Israel, for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that anyone who kills a person accidentally may flee there. But if he strikes him with an iron implement so that he dies, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Verse 24, Then the congregation shall judge between the manslayer and the avenger of blood according to these judgments. So the congregation shall deliver the manslayer from the hand of the avenger of blood, and the congregation shall return him to the city of refuge where he had fled. And he shall remain there until the death of the high priest who was anointed with the holy oil. But if the manslayer at any time goes outside the limits of the city of refuge where he fled, and the avenger of blood finds him outside the limits of his city of refuge, and the avenger of blood kills the manslayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in his city of refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the manslayer may return to the land of his possession. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning to our hearts. This morning we're going to talk a little bit about this idea of refuge. As you read the newspapers and just things that happen in your life, you sometimes wonder, where do I go for refuge? Where do I go for peace? You got the issues in Crimea, you got the issues in the Middle East, you got the issues here in this country. Where do we go for a refuge? In this passage of Scripture, we see the Lord God speaking to Moses and the children of Israel, and God made the provisions for Israel after Israel exited from Egypt. He provided laws and statutes and commandments for them to follow. But in this passage, you see how God provides one additional provision, one that provides a refuge in the event of an unintended death of another person. Six cities were created as safe havens, and it's a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation to us. Okay, great. The passage that we just read describes a situation of an accidental death. In verse 6, the cities were created in order for the manslayer to flee. Notice that God is very specific that murder is not protected, or one that hated his fellow man that was slain. God made provisions that if someone took the life of another, the next of kin should and would avenge the death of the relative. However, God wanted to make a provision in the event of an accidental death. Whoever kills his neighbor unintentionally, not having hated him in the past, he shall flee to one of these cities. The passage also mentions the avenger, a blood relative, in hot pursuit of the manslayer. You know, as I was thinking about this, I kept thinking about the Avenger team. You know, if you heard of the Avengers, right? The Cape Crusaders, are right wrongs and deliver the world from evil. This Avenger wasn't like that. This truly had a motive. He saw his relative dead, and he wanted revenge. So in Deuteronomy 19, it describes the Avenger as a hot heart who wants to overtake the manslayer, knowing the journey is long, and to slay him. But God made a provision because in the event of an accidental death, the manslayer didn't deserve death. So God provided this provision. God also provided this vision. If you look in Exodus, it actually God says, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a hand for a hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, sword for sword, stripe for stripe. If a crime took a life, the near kinsman of the slain had the right to avenge the death. You know, it's clear the Lord sees the difference between murder and manslaughter. Cities did not provide sanctuary for murderers. Crimes committed by hatred or enmity were punished by death. We know there are 48 cities given in this passage. The city is surrounded by common land, and 6 of the 48 cities were designated cities of refuge. The 3 cities on the Jordan side, 3 cities were set on the Canaan side. And there was a reason for this. The refuge was strategically located, that no point in any land of Israel were these refuges, cities of refuge more than 30 miles away. Next, I want to talk a little about the types. We see many similarities in this story about the manslayer and the lost sinner. As the manslayer has something to escape from, so do we as sinners need a refuge to escape from the penalty of sin. The first is the curse of the broken law. The manslayer knew that if he broke the law, likewise we know he would die. And likewise we know that we cannot keep the law. Galatians 3:10 tells us, for as many as are of the works of the law are under curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continually not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. The manslayer was a sinner before he was killed, and therefore he was in need of a savior just like us. The second type in this story is the justice of God. We know that God is merciful, but he's also holy. He's perfect and he demands justice. In Psalm 89:14, it says, justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. In Exodus 34:7, it says, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children. It's interesting in this verse in Exodus that it has 3 particular words that are used. One is iniquity. Iniquity has to do with perverting the ways of the Lord. The second one is a transgression. It's rebelling against God. And the third is sin. Offense against God, almost like missing the mark. The third type in this story is the consequences of sin. The manslayer saw the consequences of his sin and ran. Capital punishment was decreed for murder and no escape. Likewise, the Bible describes our sin in Psalm 14:1-4. The fool had said in his heart, there is no God. The Lord looked down from the heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did not understand or did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge. It's interesting as I read this verse that the psalmist speaks of a fool who does not want there to be a God. You can kind of paraphrase this verse in our society today in 2 points. One, they think we are omniscient, all-knowing. Just look at the theory of evolution. And they fail to ask themselves, can God exist beyond the boundary of our own knowledge? And second, they think we are omniscient, always present. And again, they fail to ask, is it possible that God can exist any place in the universe without me knowing it? Our brother this morning in the breaking of bread read a verse in Jeremiah, which I'd just like to read because I thought it was very interesting. He said in Jeremiah 17:5, he says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched place in the wilderness, in salt land which is not inhabited. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. It will not fear when heat comes, but its leaves will be green. It will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Our sin has separated us from our Creator. Society today reflects the consequences of that sin, both from the past and present, and denies the very existence of God. Society believes, I know everything, and I am the master of my own life. The last type in this story is the wrath to come. The manslayer saw it. He saw the avenger coming and he ran. There are people today that are running, overwhelmed with guilt of sin, unwilling to bow before their knee before the Lord God, and heading for the wrath to come. God tells us that we are dead because of our sin. There is none worthy, no, not one. Unless we know our Savior, our life will be eternal damnation. But for those who accepted Christ our Savior, we are promised in 1 Thessalonians to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. The last of this is Satan in his fearful power. Who can flee the manslayer from the avenger? It wasn't until he reached the doors of the city where he was safe. Who can free us from death, from Satan's grip? Our Lord Jesus, who has dominion over all. In Colossians 1, it says, "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin." Further on, it says, "By him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created by him. And by him all things consist. And he is the head, the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." Like the avenger seeking the life of a manslayer, Satan seeks our life. But we have Christ, who is preeminent, who created and has dominion over all. And Hebrews 2:14 tells us that death, through death, he, Jesus, might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So next we look at this idea of this provision of refuge. So God provided a refuge to the manslayer, a sacrificial lamb to the sinner. I'd like to spend a few minutes just discussing this provision. It's God's provision, and there's four thoughts here. The first is God. God defined this source, this provision. It had a divine origin. The city of refuge was commanded by God. Man did not come up with the idea. It was not a new progressive movement. It was developed in the heart and mind of God. It was gifted. It was a place of mercy for those who were guilty of an accident. Our source of refuge is the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And in Romans 5:8, "But God commanded his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Christianity and salvation through the shed blood of Jesus did not originate from the heart of man. This was God's idea from the beginning. Second is the scope. Think of the refuge, the city of refuge, and its scope. It uses the word whosoever. In Numbers chapter 35, verse 15, it says, "These six cities shall be a refuge for both the children of Israel and for the strangers and for the sojourners among them, that everyone who killed any person unaware may flee thither." Likewise, all sinners can be covered by the blood of Jesus. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." But God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So God calls on us in Revelation 22:17 to come. "And let him that thirst come, and whoever so will, let him come and take the water of life freely." Because Jesus, being the perfect sacrifice, offered himself once and for all for sin. And in 1 John 2, verse 2, it says, "He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world." We also see the accessibility. There were six physical cities spread across the nation of Israel. According to the rabbis, in order to aid a fugitive, it was the business of the rabbis to keep the roads leading to the cities of refuge in the best possible repair. You remember back then, the roads were not paved. Okay, there were potholes. If a manslayer tripped and fell, he had the chance of an avenger taking him over. The priests, the rabbis, were responsible to make sure those roads were clean and the best possible repair. No hills were left. Every river was bridged. The road itself was to be at least 32 cubits broad. At every turn was guideposts bearing the word refuge. And two students of the law were appointed to accompany the fleeing man to pacify, if possibly, the avenger should he be overtaken, the fugitive. How far is our refuge from us? Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." They were also set on a hill. All six cities were set on a hill, lifted up. The cities were created on a mount. Prominent cities built on top of mountains. Most of the ancient sites were built with white limestone. While the sun hit these cities, they gleamed in the sun. And even at night, under the moonlight, they could be seen and visible for the manslayer, running to these cities to seek the journey. Likewise, our Lord has lifted us up Likewise, the Lord was lifted up when he was nailed to the cross. And we too can look at him. And he draws men to him. The third is the roads were well marked and kept. The way was well marked. The city gates were never closed. The directions were clear and well defined. The Lord tells us the way in John 14. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The last is the security. Safety was found inside the door. The manslayer must enter the gate. You see in an earlier version, the manslayer must enter the gate. In Joshua 20, verse 4, it says, when he doth flee unto one of these cities, he shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause to the ears of the elders in the city. They shall take him in the city unto him, and give him place that he may dwell among them. It doesn't say that the man had to get close to the city. It doesn't say that the man had to touch the wall. It didn't say that the man had to know somebody in the city. It said that the man had to enter into the gate. Likewise, we must also enter to be saved. In John 10:9, it says, I am the door. By me, if any man enters, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. For there is no other way, nor the name given under heaven, by whereby we must be saved. And the last in this security is the idea of the guarantor. The manslayer is promised safety in the city of refuge and was required to stay until the death of the high priest. If the manslayer leaves before the avenger could slay him, the death of the high priest brought freedom to those who escaped the cities of refuge. Similarly, and we spoke about this a little bit this morning, our great high priest frees us from the condemning demands of the law. He is our high priest, the Lord Jesus, the sacrificial lamb. He is from beginning, in John 1:1. He makes intercession for us as we are saved. In the passage in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26, for Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, verse 24, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood another. He then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Our high priest will never die. We have no worries about the high priest dying. Our high priest will live forever. He has made intercession for us. We are secure in the saving knowledge of him in his shed blood, and the fact that he died and rose on the third day, and he is alive forevermore. So this sin, this provision, both for us and for the manslayer, in Joshua 20, we read that all the needs are also supplied by the manslayer. If you look at that passage, it says, when the manslayer came in, if he was found innocent, that the city would provide for him, give him a means to be able to manage himself and his livelihood, give him a place to learn, a trade, make them self-sufficient. Likewise, the Lord Jesus provides a provision for us. In Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And again in Psalm 37, verse 4, delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of the heart. The Lord will give you what you want. You just need to trust and believe in him. The last few minutes, we got about 15 minutes, I just want to talk a little bit about the cities. Now, each city was specific. It had a specific name and there was a purpose. And it actually corresponds to the characteristic of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There were six cities, if you notice on the map. There was Hebron, Shechem, and Kadesh, Bezer, Ramoth, and Golan, three on each side of the Jordan. In the land, and we're going to kind of focus on these three. Kadesh, which you see on the upper left, is located in the far north of Palestine, above the Lake Merman, near the peaks of Mount Hermon in Lebanon. The ruins of the city still exist today, surrounded by rocky ridges in the midst of green hills. It was situated in the tribe of Naphtali. The Hebrew root for Kadesh signifies holy, a whole high spiritual purity, saintly, the Holy One. The Lord Jesus was sinless, he was pure. The angels in heaven declared his holy, holy, holy to him as they worshipped him. He was a lamb without blemish in Exodus chapter 2, verse 5. The apostles describe Christ as holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. We even see in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, when the angel came to visit Mary. And he said, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And we even see in Matthew chapter 3, when God says, and the voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And lastly, we see the righteousness in him as described in 1 Peter, "who did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not, and when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judged righteously, who his own self bears his sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, shall live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. We remember his holiness and try to be holy, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us." The second city, city of Shechem, was west of the Jordan, located at the edge of the valley near the hills of Ephraim, between the mountains of Ebal and Gozan, from where both blessings and curses were proclaimed. Shechem is first mentioned when Abraham arrived in Canaan from Chaldea and erected the first altar. The interesting point is the last time this city is mentioned is when the Lord Jesus conversed with a woman at the well, speaking of the fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. The Hebrew meaning of Shechem is shoulder or support. This can be include supporting a burden or a seat of responsibility. It could also mean to sustain weight or provide the means of substance. It could also mean to endure patiently and tolerate. The lost sinner wanders the wilderness of sin looking for someone to bear his or her burden to redeem them. Jesus is our refuge. Who can shoulder our burdens or our sins? We look to the Lord who will provide our support. The Lord Jesus is also considered the Good Shepherd in Luke. We are reminded in Luke 15 in the parable of the Good Shepherd how the shepherd seeks the lost sheep and when found it, lays it on his shoulders rejoicing and gets home and rejoices with his friends. The writer is actually speaking of Christ's work in saving saints from the power of sin. The role is more than that of a high priest. There is no danger that any believers will be lost. Their eternal security rests on his perpetual intercession for them. He is able to save them all because of his presence at God's right hand. Jesus is able to redeem. He has conquered the penalty of sin. He can lift up the heavy burden. He can carry it forward. The last city on the west side is the city of Hebron. Hebron is the most ancient of the sites in Canaan. It's located in the south slope, nested among the olive groves and terebinth trees, looking down in the valley of Palestine. In this city, the bones of the patriarchs were buried, and near here was also the location where David was anointed king. The Hebrew word for Hebron is fellowship and companion. The manslayer running for his life seeks refuge in the city that will bring safety and fellowship. In 1 John 1:7 we read, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Prior to making a personal commitment to Christ, we were cut off from God's fellowship, alone, wandering, convicted, accused by Satan. Now Jesus has brought us into fellowship with God through his death and resurrection. In the Old Testament times, the world was divided into two classes, Jew and Gentile. The Lord Jesus introduced a third, the Church of God. Now believing Jews and Gentiles are made one in Christ and are introduced into a new society. And his promise to us, Ephesians 2:6, "and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ." We talked about the first three cities on the left side, and now we're going to talk about the three cities that were formed on the right side after Israel conquered the land of Canaan. If you look at Bezer, located beyond the Jordan in the tribe of Reuben, it's thought it was high up in one of the many rocky ranges on Mount Nebo. This is the same summit that Moses was sought to ascend prior to his death, with the view of the promised land. From there, the Dead Sea and the mountains in Judah could be seen. It was considered a well-fortified city where it got its name. The Hebrew meaning for Bezer is stronghold, fortified place, a secure place. In the event of an accident, the manslayer needed a place that he could defend against his avenger, a place that could not be overtaken by the avenger or his family. Likewise, we as helpless sinners need a place of refuge from Satan, the accuser, and the penalty of our sin. The Lord Jesus is this solid rock, an anchor in the time of our need. He is unchanging, immovable, and all self-sufficient. The writer in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 says that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that was set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. In God we find reliability for our Christian hope, a refuge for those true believers who flee the world to this heavenly city. God has given us an unfailing hope. In the storms and trials, this hope serves as an anchor for our soul. The forerunner, Christ Jesus himself, his presence ensures the ultimate entrance to all who believe in him. And the high priest, for our Lord Jesus became a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. In Christ we find strength to carry on, and those who know him can say, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Ramoth, located in the wooded area, it's the fifth city of Gilead that borders the town of Palestine within the tribe of Gad. Ramoth sits among the hills and slopes on the other side of the Jordan, near the Jabbok Brook, where Jacob wrestled with the angels. The Hebrew meaning of Ramoth is exaltation. In Matthew chapter 17, it says, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came from the cloud, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And again in Mark chapter 1, verse 11, the voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We see the power and importance afforded to the Lord Jesus by the Father. In Philippians 2, Paul writes, Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. Exalted is our Lord Jesus Christ. We see how the Lord made himself of no reputation, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. If our Savior humbled himself, God also has highly exalted him. He did not seek a name for himself. God has given him the name which is above all the names. The last city is called Golan. Golan is located in the lands of Manasseh, among the hills of the lake Gennesaret. It was the northernmost refuge on each side of the Jordan. The Hebrew meaning for Golan is joy. Joy is a source of or cause of delight. Joy is not the same as happiness. Happiness is a blurred emotion that can have different meanings. Happiness is usually temporary, an emotional state of being at a point in time. Joy, on the other hand, means to be exceedingly glad. I have to admit, I'm not usually happy when encountering various trials. I should have finished that. But, you know, Jesus goes on to say in James chapter 1, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The deep, abiding joy comes as we persevere through our trials, testing and perfecting of our faith. Happiness is fleeting, depending on your emotional state. Joy is true contentment that comes from the eternal factors, such as your faith. You know, it's interesting to note that in the Bible, the idea of happiness or happy occurs about 30 times in the Bible. But this idea of joy or rejoicing appears over 300 times. For the downcast, 1 Peter tells you, in this greatly rejoice, that now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that your genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it has been tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom you have not seen, you love. Our delight in the Lord Jesus Christ can be seen in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. He is our author, he is our pioneer, he is our finisher of our faith. And because he is a delight in our lives, we can say, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Each of these cities describes man's necessity and nature. Each city provides a refuge to the manslayer, but more importantly, each city describes one who is perfect, a holy God, a high priest, a perfect sacrifice, one who has put away the penalty of sin once and for all. If you have not put your faith and trust in Lord Jesus Christ, and you are like this manslayer, running to the safety of the cities of refuge, hoping that you can make it, hoping you can get there before Satan accuses you, provokes you, or death takes over, I pray today that you seriously ponder your condition. Separated from God and not in fellowship with Him. I pray that you would seek Him this morning. And if you've trusted Christ, I pray that you know your Savior will never leave you nor forsake you. In this time, as I brought up this passage, our world is changing, ever changing. I mean, the thoughts of how my children will grow up, how I grew up, and how my children are growing up, the dangers that are befall them, that no matter what trial or temptation befalls us, befalls our kids, He is with us, encouraging us, comforting us, and protecting you and sustaining you. Are you looking for a refuge this morning? Have you experienced a glimpse of it, but allowed the world to divert your attention from it? Are you in a hopeless situation, ever sinking in the miry clay, tired of empty promises, asking God what is His purpose? The lonely, empty, running from Satan, who mentally accuses you, provokes you, hoping that you would think it's hopeless. Where is the joy in life in that? There is a place of refuge, tried and sweet, a redemption that only God can provide and a promise that can be immediately fulfilled. It requires nothing of you to earn or work. It's a gift of grace that can surely lift you from the miry clay and place you on a firm foundation that can withstand all of Satan's accusations, knowing it's not your work that brought you there, but the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. Friend, won't you come to Him today? Won't you rest in His arms, enjoy His companionship, secure, surrounded in the pure source of joy and radiant grace? Won't you experience the joy that only comes in knowing Him? There's a hymn that was published in 1878 by Mary James. It's called Sweetly Resting. And it goes like this. In the rifted rock I'm resting, safely sheltered I abide. There no foes nor storms molest me, while within the cleft I hide. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting, in the cleft once made for me. Jesus, blessed rock of ages, I will hide myself in thee. Long pursued by sin and Satan, weary, sad, I long for rest. Then I found this heavenly shelter opened in my Savior's breast. Peace which passeth understanding, joy the world can never give. Now in Jesus I am finding, in His smiles of love I live. In the rifted rock I hide me, till the storms of life are past, all secure in this blessed refuge, heeding not the fiercest blast. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting, in the cleft once made for me. Jesus, blessed rock of ages, I will hide myself in thee. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time that we could just spend in your word. Father, we thank you for these six cities that we could just ponder them as they point to the characteristics, as they point to our Lord Jesus Christ and who He was, how He shouldered our burdens, how He was a stronghold, how He is a stronghold in the time of trouble, how He redeemed us from the penalty of sin, and how He holds us, that neither Satan nor any principality or dominion can have hold of us. Father, we thank you for our Savior. And Father, we pray today that if there's anybody in this room who has not put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are like that manslayer running away from the wrath of death, Father, we just pray that you may touch their heart this morning, open their mind and open their eyes to the precious gift that the Lord Jesus Christ made for us on Calvary. And we pray, Father, that that person will have and build a relationship with you. We thank you now for this time, Father. We pray for us today that as we go forth and throughout this week, we will be more like Christ in trusting in Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.